I'm in Cape Henlopen State Park, just outside of an area known as Gordon's Pond. Every year, around late April to early May, they close down this spot to keep people from disturbing the piping plover, a small, pale, pot-bellied shorebird that breeds and nests in low-lying sandy beaches. They're also pretty adorable.
The little babies, when they come out, and they're precocious. As soon as they're born, they're able to fend for themselves and run around. And they're so little and cute that you just can't stand it.
That's Andrew Edney, an avid bird watcher from Wilmington. He's been watching piping plovers most of his life, starting from when his father used to take him along on surf fishing trips.
Being a teenager, I'd get bored and wander off into the dunes, and would be able to find the piping plovers doing their courtship displays right along the old sand roads that are still around on Assateague.
That was about 40 years ago.
But the birds that have been at Fenwick and Dewey Beach, they're gone now. The beach is shrunk. There's too much recreational vehicle traffic, and the birds just don't even bother using those beaches anymore.
Now, when Andrew spots piping plovers, it's just a few at a time, not the crowds that he saw when he was a teenager.
You might see one or two nowadays. I guess I've seen as many as eight, but back in the old days, it was a lot easier to find them, that's for sure.
Over the years, he's heard what many of us have. Delaware's coastal waters are rising, and nor'easters may happen more frequently.
I probably would ask a biologist if rising sea levels are going to have a permanent effect.
Sarah Carpentier, a biologist with the Virginia Tech Shorebird Program, has been wondering the same thing.
Well, his question is a great one, and we are actually working on trying to answer some of those questions and have been for a long time with piping plovers.
Carpentier and other researchers are working on a project with federal agencies to find out whether the piping plover stands to gain or lose with rising sea levels. They do this by looking at how the birds respond to changes on barrier islands along the Atlantic coast, which are already altered by both sea level rise and human development. The piping plover's sensitivity to humans is well known. That's why Denrite goes out of their way to isolate whole sections of beaches from people.
You know, when you are in a piping plover area, if you are a researcher or a biologist in that area, you almost tiptoe very slowly through these areas. They are very challenging to see. They're very cryptic, and it's a pretty amazing camouflage that they have.
But this amazing camouflage also makes them easy to step on or run over with a vehicle. Piping plovers really depend on beachy areas, and particularly what happens to these places after a storm hits.
For piping plovers, and when we allow those storms to happen and the impacts to happen to the islands, we often see benefits to piping plovers.
Storms create what's called overwash, when water from the sea carrying beach sediments flow onto the dunes. Overwash is critical for islands to maintain their size and shape in the face of sea level rise. Carpentier says overwash is also important to piping plovers, since the chicks don't fly for roughly 25 days after hatching. So the parents have to walk with the chicks to forage for food.
And the best foraging areas for piping plovers are known to be on the bayside of our islands, where you have these large, expansive mudflats. And those areas are actually created when storms impact an island and are allowed to overwash an island and create that kind of habitat.
Allowed is the key word here. Over the time our bird watcher, Andrew Edney, has grown up observing piping plovers, there's been a lot of human development on the coast, the main driver of their habitat loss. Man-made structures built to deal with sea level rise prevent the overwash that the birds need.
So when we build structures, build jetties, or build seawalls, that leads to very serious declines in piping plovers.
That's because these hardened structures keep the islands from adapting to changes in sea level rise. Evidence also shows man-made structures speed up coastal erosion. When the dunes become eroded, the post-storm mudflats aren't created, and the piping plovers are out of a place to live. Carpentier says it's possible over time the coastal storms that help piping plovers could become a detriment, especially if they contribute to habitat erosion. But she can't say for sure, since there's still a lot about sea level rise scientists don't know yet.
You know, I would say in a few years we would be comfortable saying how some of these islands might look in the future under climate scenarios.
Research has shown that piping plovers are highly adaptable to natural changes along the shore. But the birds need the time to do it, and the pace at which humans are developing the beaches isn't helping.
So as we go forward, we need to think strategically about how sea level rise and climate will affect our coast, and think about, well, where are going to be the best areas for people And then where are we going to have areas that we allow these natural coastal processes to occur and the wildlife to be able to adapt to that change?
In other words, it's not enough to close down whole sections of beaches in the springtime. Andrew agrees there needs to be a long-term solution to protect piping plovers.
With people building up the beaches the way they are right now, it's going to be a much bigger strain on keeping the piping plovers safe.
Recently, the Toronto Star reported the reappearance of Great Lakes piping plovers on the Toronto Islands. They hadn't been spotted there since June 1934, over 80 years ago. Carpentier says these reappearances likely happened because areas that became inhospitable years ago have become ideal places to brood again. And it's possible human efforts to protect piping plover habitats around Toronto may have helped too. But for scientists, it's not clear yet what the future looks like for piping plovers on the Atlantic coast, and how or if they can adapt as seas continue to rise. However, they're certain that it's not a bad idea for people to give the birds some room. Eli Chen, Delaware Public Media.